Hey everyone, welcome to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies, a podcast that will delve into what it's like to not only immigrate to one of our prairie provinces, but we will also explore what it means to work, live, and study in Western Canada. We will profile various communities, discover post-secondary education options, report on jobs that are high in demand, and of course, chat about what you need to know for living life on the prairies. If this sounds like something that sparks your interest, then stick around. I am your host, Lindsay Rubinek, and you are listening to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Immigration on the Canadian Prairies. And today, unfortunately, we are going to have to speak to the invasion of Ukraine and Canada's response to it. I say unfortunately because I certainly do not want to be discussing our country's response to a crisis that should not even be happening. So if my voice cracks or I stutter, please forgive me. I'm going to try and get through this best I can. As a Canadian Ukrainian, my heart goes out to all my friends and family that are still in Ukraine and everybody else in the world who has to watch a democratic country be invaded like this. All right. So on March 3rd, just last week, the government of Canada announced as part of its response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine that Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, or IRCC as we call it, would be introducing new immigration streams for Ukrainians who wish to come to Canada temporarily or permanently. So as a result, IRCC is in the midst of creating a Canada-Ukraine authorization for emergency travel, which will be available to individuals fleeing Ukraine. There will be no limit to the number of Ukrainians who will be permitted to apply. Ukrainians who are approved under this new temporary stream will be permitted to remain in Canada for up to 2 years. Now, in all the news releases I am reading, it's currently saying Ukrainian nationals will be permitted to apply. So unfortunately, this may mean that other individuals, such as foreign nationals who hold permanent resident status in Ukraine, will be precluded from applying under the new temporary stream. I truly hope I'm reading this wrong, and if I'm not, I do not understand how this could be true, so I really hope that the Canadian government immediately addresses it, as it's not fair in any regard. Anyone who holds status in the country of Ukraine should be allowed to apply under this stream. I strongly urge the government of Canada to reconsider this, as this is not the case. So I'm going to go through what they have stated, and then I will also note some red herrings or some issues that I find with the policy, and hopefully that they will remove it, because some of what they said obviously is great and we really want it to happen, but there are things, there are requirements that they are asking for that's going to be a challenge for lots of Ukrainians to get. So let's begin. So what does a Canada-Ukraine authorization for emergency travel exactly mean? Well, from what I understand, this new temporary stream will be the fastest, safest, and most efficient way for Ukrainians to come to Canada and will eliminate many of the normal visa requirements. However, Immigration Canada does still intend to perform background checks and include security screening, such as biometrics collections, on any Ukrainians who apply under this stream. We all know, though, on February 24th, that the visa application centers in Ukraine were closed to the public. Now, this will make it extremely difficult for Ukrainians residing right now in Ukraine to provide their biometrics in connection with this new temporary stream, as well as existing temporary resident categories. Immigration Canada has said to this that it has increased its operational readiness throughout Europe, including relocating staff and moving additional supplies and equipment. This includes mobile biometric collection kits in anticipation to the increased volume of requests. Now, this means, though, that Ukrainians would have to leave the country of Ukraine. So some may not be able to. So that's the issue. Legally may not be able to leave, are being held against their will, or those who physically cannot leave, financially cannot leave. So people who cannot leave the country of Ukraine may face issues with having to get their biometrics collected. And this may end up in a negative decision with their application. However, what you could do if Immigration Canada does require biometrics is you could put in a letter explaining that you could not get the biometrics collected due to where you live. So maybe that would be an option as well in response to their requirement. Also, Immigration Canada has said that is relocating or has relocated probably many of the pending Ukraine cases to other posts throughout the countries, throughout other countries, in order to ensure that their service is continually being provided and delivered. All Ukrainians who come to Canada under this new temporary stream will be eligible to apply for an open work permit, making it easier for employers to quickly hire Ukrainian nationals. As previously announced, IRCC will also ensure open work permits to Ukrainian visitors, workers, and students who are currently in Canada and who cannot, obviously, safely return home. In regards to the ability for Ukrainian nationals to work, however, it does read as though Ukrainian nationals entering Canada under this new temporary stream will not receive work permits at the time of entry. However, they will have to apply for their open work permits after they arrive in Canada. The issue I do see with this is time. Now, it currently is taking 4 months to process inland work permits. This would require people who arrive from Ukraine to have the financial resources to live in Canada for at least 4 months, or else have those people who said they would financially support their friends and family coming from Ukraine into their community, that they could financially support them for a minimum of 4 months. Given the short of time, this might be an unrealistic expectation of financial ability. Given the situation, I then hope that IRCC will prioritize inland work permit applications filed by Ukrainian nationals who arrive under this new temporary stream. I'm hoping they would, because as they already confirmed, that's already happening, is that they are prioritizing the renewal of work and study permits so Ukrainians can extend their stay in Canada. Now, it also is expected that this stream will have a lot more details and be up and running and operational in a week. So Immigration Canada has said that it's going to continue to prioritize applications filed by Ukrainians under existing temporary resident categories. So keep on applying for those Ukrainians already in the roster. I'm going to tell you what you need to do to ensure that your file is up there and is being prioritized, and as well as for those who are interested in coming to Canada temporarily or permanently, please start getting your documents ready to go and be prepared to fill out the forms and have whatever is needed once everything is announced. All right, so the other pathway would be for immediate and extended family members of Canadian citizens and Canadian permanent residents who may want to have their Ukrainian family start a new life with them in our country. So to effectively meet this demand, Immigration Canada is announcing that they would like to quickly implement a special family reunification sponsorship stream for permanent residents. Unfortunately, there's not very much detail regarding this new PR stream from what I've read. It stated only that Immigration Canada would develop the details of this new permanent resident stream in the coming weeks. And I should make note that the reference to extended family members does make it clear that it will extend beyond immediate family members of Canadian citizens and permanent residents. So, for example, if you're a Canadian citizen or a PR of Canada, you can currently sponsor your spouse, your partner, your child, and just very immediate family, right? Whereas Immigration Canada is saying that you may be able to sponsor your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your first cousin. I'm not exactly sure of the details, but it will extend beyond the normal sponsorship that it usually allows. All right, these new streams will build on existing measures that were previously implemented by the government of Canada in order to address the situation that just developed in Ukraine. So let's review existing measures that Canada has done to date so you, my friends, are aware of them. IRCC has previously established a dedicated service channel for Ukrainian immigration inquiries available for clients both in Canada and abroad. So the phone number is 613-321-4243, and I'm going to put that in the show notes. Please note, collect calls are accepted. Also, you can get your application prioritized or make an inquiry by adding the keyword Ukraine 2022 to the IRCC Crisis Web Form with your inquiry, and it will be prioritized. The Minister of Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship has issued a national interest exemption to allow unvaccinated and partially vaccinated Ukrainian nationals who hold a temporary resident visa or a temporary resident permit to enter Canada. This also applies to people who are vaccinated with vaccines not currently recognized by Canada. However, Everyone will need to comply with all public health requirements, including quarantine and COVID-19 requirements. IRCC previously announced that it would waive the fees retroactive to February 22nd of this year for certain travel and immigration documents. These include Canadian passports, permanent resident travel documents, proof of citizenship, visitor visas, as well as work and study permits. Immigration Canada is also prioritizing and urgently processing travel documents for Canadians, permanent residents, and their immediate family members, including issuing single journey travel documents for immediate family members who do not have valid passports. IRCC continues to prioritize citizenship grant applications for adoptions and temporary resident applications for people with a primary residence in Ukraine who wish to reunite or travel with family to study, work, or start a new life here in Canada. As well, the government of Canada is also prioritizing the renewal of work and study permits, as I previously mentioned, so Ukrainians currently here in Canada can extend their stay if they so desire. Immigration Canada has also extended its temporary public policy, which allows certain individuals to apply for a work permit from within Canada. So that's not only for Ukrainians, that's also for anyone who's currently in Canada on a visitor visa. If you fit a certain criteria, you may be able to apply for a work permit from within Canada. And finally, the Canada Border Service Agency has implemented an administrative deferral of removals, or as ADRs, what we call them in our line of work for Ukraine. An ADR can temporarily delay the enforcement of a removal order. However, please do know that foreign nationals who are inadmissible to Canada for security reasons or grounds of criminality, international or human rights violations, or organized crime are still subject to the removal, even if the ADR is in place. All right. So my friends, that's the best I could do in terms of information for you on the two pathways that should be released in a week by the time this recording is released. I will circle back to you and provide you with an update once everything is released. I know I stutter. My voice has cracked through this podcast. I've really tried to keep it together. So thank you for listening. I hope that you will forward this podcast to anyone who may need this information, or just simply Google search Immigration Canada and just look up keywords like Canada, Ukraine, travel emergency, and you should be able to find all the information that you need. As well as I know that there is a document that's available to do it yourself, to apply for the visitor visa. I'll also put that in my show notes as well, because not everybody can afford to hire a lawyer or immigration consultant to do the work for them. So good luck, my friends, to all my friends and family, to everyone with Ukrainian roots, to anyone who has a Ukrainian friend or family member. I wish you all the best of luck. I love each and every one of you. Stay safe, my friends.
Well, that's a wrap, my friends. Short and sweet as always. I appreciate you taking the time to learn more about the Canadian Prairies and information that could be important to you on your immigration journey. I will leave some links in the show notes for you that relate to this podcast. Also, do not forget to download your Canadian Immigration Goal Worksheet at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca/goal. Or if you're an international student, we got a do-it-yourself guide also available on our website at 100thMeridianImmigration.ca. Both are great resources to help you work towards your dream of immigrating to Canada. If you are interested in learning more about this topic in this episode, would like to receive more information about life on the prairies or further immigration career tips, then connect with this Canadian Prairie Girl, immigration at 100meridian.ca. Until next time, my friends, live rural, live well.
And the road still winds through this prairie sunrise. Got guns to my left, wheat fields to my right. Country roads I've been searching all this time, and I think I'm almost home.